Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and comments from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2026, and you are listening to episode 490. We are covering all the top stories from yesterday, and we have a really great lineup for you today.
We really do. We are going to talk about a fascinating shift in how AI models are being trained to actually be dumber on purpose. A peek behind the curtain at Claude's official system prompts. A hilarious look at what happens when plagiarism tools invent medical terms. A fantastic perspective on RISC-V from a third-world embedded engineer. And finally, native ad blocking coming to Firefox on iOS.
Let us kick things off with that first AI story, which is titled Models Are Getting Dumber on Purpose. This one really caught my eye because it perfectly articulates a trend we've been seeing over the last couple of years. The author Walter van der Giessen points out that models are scoring higher and higher on reasoning benchmarks like math and coding, but their per-token compute is dropping.
Right. He uses the example of the new GLM 5.2 and DeepSeek V4 Flash. They are crushing it on reasoning, but if you ask them a plain factual question, they fail miserably. They hallucinate wildly. And the author argues this is a deliberate trade-off by the AI labs. They're trading world knowledge for reasoning skill.
It makes total sense when you think about it. Facts take up space in the neural network weights. If you want a model to know the population of every town in the Netherlands, you have to pay for that in parameter count. But reasoning is essentially a set of procedures, like breaking a problem down, checking your work, or backtracking. Those procedures compress beautifully into smaller models.
And the best point he makes is that facts rot, but procedures do not. If you bake the current state of the JavaScript ecosystem into a model's weights in 2024, half of that knowledge is outdated before the model even ships. But algebra works the same way today as it did 50 years ago.
Exactly. So the future we are moving toward, which we are already seeing with coding agents, is a small, highly capable reasoning engine that runs locally on your consumer GPU. It doesn't know anything natively, but it uses a harness. It searches the web. It reads your local documentation. It runs grep on your files.
And as the author points out, this mostly solves the hallucination problem. If a model hallucinates a fact from its own weights, you cannot fix it without a massive retraining run. But if it pulls a wrong fact from a local document, you just fix the document. The wrong answer has an address now.
Speaking of how we steer these models, our second story is perfectly related. Anthropic just published a documentation page detailing the system prompts for Claude, going all the way up to the recent Opus 5 and Fable 5 models.
This is so interesting, because the system prompt is the hidden text injected at the very beginning of your conversation that tells the AI how to behave. Simon Willison, who is always all over this stuff, actually has a GitHub repository where he tracks the changes to these prompts over time, like git commits.
Yeah, and Simon pointed out a really fascinating addition to the prompt for the new Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models. Anthropic explicitly added a section explaining that those two models were suspended by the U.S. Department of Commerce for export control reasons back in June, and then restored in July.
Right, because the training data cutoff was before that happened, Claude would have no idea it was temporarily banned. The prompt literally instructs Claude to confirm the suspension accurately and matter-of-factly if asked, not to share personal opinions, and to treat it like any other political topic.
The Hacker News comments on this were great. One user joked that it would be ironic if the perceived degradation in Opus 5 was just because it was told in the prompt that it sits a tier below Fable and Mythos, basically giving it an inferiority complex.
You have to wonder about the psychology of these models, but there was also a really good technical discussion in the comments about context windows. Some people were complaining that Anthropic is wasting precious tokens on this massive system prompt. The system prompt is the most important instruction you give a model, and cramming it full of rules might actually degrade performance.
People also brought up safety. Someone suggested that these long prompts are just to prevent the model from generating illegal or harmful content. But as a few experts in the thread pointed out, the system prompt is really just a polite suggestion. The actual heavy lifting for safety, like blocking jailbreaks, is done by out-of-band non-LLM gates that run before and after the main model. If the system prompt was the only defense, it would be trivial to bypass.
Okay, let us take a break from the heavy AI architecture talk for something incredibly funny. The next story is a discussion about research papers using the phrase kidney disappointment instead of kidney failure.
This is amazing. So if you search Google Scholar for the exact phrase kidney disappointment, you find actual published papers using it. Why? Because lazy researchers are using AI paraphrasing tools to rewrite stolen text and evade plagiarism detectors.
The euphemism treadmill gone wrong. The comment section was an absolute goldmine of these tortured phrases. Someone found papers using lactose bigotry instead of lactose intolerance.
Lactose bigotry is incredible. I'm going to start using that. I am not intolerant, I am just prejudiced against dairy.
Another one was bosom peril instead of breast cancer, and fake neural organizations instead of artificial neural networks.
My favorite, or maybe the most horrifying one, was a chemistry paper that tried to paraphrase the phrase, the final solution. The automated tool replaced it with the mass killing of an ethnic group, so the published chemistry paper literally contained the sentence, subsequently, 1 milliliter of the mass killing of an ethnic group was exposed to the skin sample.
That is completely wild. And as some commenters pointed out, this actually predates modern large language models. Back in the day, people used a tool called SpinBot, which just did simple thesaurus substitutions. It is a technique called article spinning, and it has been ruining the English language for decades.
It just goes to show that the peer review process at some of these lower tier journals is completely broken. If a human editor had even skimmed that chemistry paper, they would have caught it. But it is a hilarious side effect of the arms race between plagiarism and detection.
Let us pivot to hardware. Our next story is a fantastic blog post titled, "A Third World Embedded Engineer Responds to RISC-V. They Should Have Known Better."
For context, a few days ago, a well-known engineer named Dmitry Grinberg wrote a highly upvoted critique of the RISC-V architecture. He argued that RISC-V made some poor architectural choices, that the instruction set is fragmented, and that it will never compete with high-end ARM chips.
But today's author, who goes by Narishma, works out of Trinidad and Tobago. He wrote this brilliant rebuttal explaining that the Western tech bubble completely misses the point of why RISC-V is revolutionary.
Exactly. Narishma explains that when he wants to order a development board, he does not get next-day free shipping from DigiKey. He pays anywhere from $60 to $200 just to ship a $1 chip, assuming customs does not seize it.
He points out that for educators and engineers in places like Trinidad, Nigeria, or Bangladesh, the difference between a 10-cent microcontroller and a $1 microcontroller is not a rounding error. It is the difference between an entire class of 30 students getting their own hardware to learn on versus 30 students crowding around a single demo board.
He specifically calls out the CH32V003 chip, which is a 10-cent RISC-V part. Dmitry Grinberg had actually described the exact specs of this chip as the ideal cheap microcontroller, but then complained about its existence because it lacks architectural elegance. Narishma is basically saying, who cares about instruction set elegance when the hardware is 10 cents and actually accessible to the other 99% of the world?
It is such a necessary perspective. Narishma also pushed back on the idea that RISC-V cannot do high-end stuff. He gave examples of dual-core RISC-V chips running at 400 megahertz that cost almost nothing, and chips like the Bao chip, which have proper memory management units and run Linux.
The Hacker News comments had a really nuanced debate about this. Some people defended Dmitry, saying he was talking about high-end application processors like you would find in a smartphone, whereas Narishma is talking about embedded systems. But another commenter nailed it. They said RISC-V is going to win despite its limitations, simply because the cost per core is zero.
Right. There are no licensing fees. Any company can spin up their own custom silicone without paying ARM millions of dollars. X86 dominated for decades, not because it was the most elegant architecture, but because it was the most practical choice. RISC-V is becoming the practical choice for the exact same reason.
It is a great reminder that technology does not exist in a vacuum. Economics and logistics usually dictate the winner, not pure technical perfection.
Okay, our final story today is about web browsers. The title on Hacker News is Firefox for iOS Now Has a Native Ad Blocker.
This one linked to a Mozilla support page, and it sparked a massive debate about the state of browsing on iPhones. For the longest time, Apple forced all third-party browsers on iOS to use the Safari WebKit engine, which severely limited what they could do.
People in the comments were quick to point out that if you are on Safari, you can now use an extension called uBlock Origin Lite. But as someone explained, the Lite version is constrained by Apple's Manifest V3 rules. It cannot use all the filter lists simultaneously, it lacks cosmetic filtering by default, and it limits dynamic filtering.
Which is why having a native ad blocker built directly into Firefox on iOS is a big deal for privacy advocates. But of course, because this is Hacker News, the conversation immediately turned into a debate between Firefox and Brave.
Oh, always.
Some users argued that Brave is better because its ad blocker is built in using Rust, and it bypasses all those extension limitations. But then the anti-Brave crowd showed up with receipts.
Yeah, people brought up Brave's history of shady behavior. They linked to GitHub issues where Brave was caught injecting affiliate links into URLs, installing VPN services without user consent, and their whole cryptocurrency ecosystem.
Someone even brought up the fact that Brave CEO used to run Mozilla, but was forced out years ago due to political donations, which just adds this whole layer of historical drama to the browser wars.
The counter-argument, of course, is that Mozilla gets the vast majority of its funding directly from Google, which is an inherent conflict of interest for a browser that claims to fight tracking.
It really feels like picking your poison. Do you want the crypto-heavy browser with a history of weird monetization stunts, or the nonprofit browser funded by the biggest advertising monopoly on the planet?
It is a tough choice, but at the end of the day, having more native ad-blocking options on iOS is a win for consumers. Apple's walled garden has made it historically very difficult to get a clean, ad-free web experience on an iPhone compared to Android or desktop.
Absolutely. Well, that covers our top stories for today. We went from the philosophy of AI knowledge and the euphemism treadmill to the economics of microcontrollers in the developing world and the never-ending browser wars.
A classic day on Hacker News. Thank you so much for listening to episode 490 of HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the best conversations from Hacker News. Until then, keep building and stay curious.